So I was studying I had a poem come into my spirit, and I wanted to set it up before the Bible study tonight, and I wanted to read it. It would be my desire, not for number's sake, but for the topic's sake. I would love to have had many, many more people in our church to hear this Bible study tonight. Perhaps there will be parts of this that will be ministered to in preaching. But there's a couple of words that I want us to talk about tonight, and you might think I'm going in a direction that has been familiar before, because one of the words has to deal with patience, but I'm not actually going to be talking about patience in the way that you might have heard it before. But I want you to take these words, these two words together: wait patiently. Wait patiently. And we're going to look at some scriptures tonight about getting into some real depth about what is this. And I'm focusing more on the word of patiently. And it's not exactly the same thing as patience. And so I pray that it will encourage you tonight. But I'm going to read a poem. I'm going to share some things with you tonight. I wrote this. This is intended for a people and a time, we've all probably been here, where it seems like we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting for something to come and turn the page for us, turn the corner for us. And we're using the word wait as just an expression of, I want something different to happen. And we understand waiting. We do it all the time. We wait at a red light. We wait in a grocery store. We wait in a doctor's office. We understand that to mean there's a period of time that has to go by before something happens. But what's happening in the church and in our individual lives, when a tragedy comes, when a situation comes, when pain shows up, when suffering becomes something that we go through, we say that we're waiting, but what we're really meaning is we're really doing nothing at all, but we're waiting for something or someone to change it to get us out of what we're going through. Kind of just passing time. And when you get to just passing time and you're waiting, how many of you have ever went to a grocery store and the line was so long that you got in line, but before it was your turn, you backed out of line and left because you decided you're not waiting any longer? Has that ever happened? You've been at a gas station and the pumps might be so long, and you pulled in to maybe your favorite gas station and you're waiting there for a few minutes, and you might have somewhere else to be, and you decide, okay, I can't wait at this gas station any longer. You pull out and you go down the road to another one that might not be someplace that you're used to going, but because you get tired of waiting, you go somewhere else. We have a time in life right now where people in the church have come to church and they keep waiting, in their terms, not mine, waiting on God to do something. And they might come a few weeks, maybe even a few months, and because that thing that they're waiting on to happen doesn't happen, they go looking somewhere else and they don't wait for God any longer. I want to talk about waiting patiently on the Lord, and what does that mean? I want to encourage our heart tonight. So I'm sharing my own heart to begin with, because this is something the Lord does for me. And then if I share it, I hope it's a blessing to you. But what I've started doing in a book is, if I get a poem, I'm trying to write down the notes around, why is this poem being written? And then there's always a scripture that God's been working in my spirit that goes with the poem. And so all this is an attention getter. It's not the word. It's not my message. It's not the Bible study. But it's just to see if you can relate to yourself being here at times, or someone that you know perhaps could be here. My purpose tonight is to share this and then give you scripture text and have a few moments to talk about wait and wait patiently. And so I want to share with you as it came to my heart. So I wrote this today, being December 28, 2011. I was looking in my Bible at Psalms 40, and there's a reason why I went there. Psalms 40 was the passage of scripture that God put in my spirit at the end of 2010 and the beginning of 2011, and he's taken me there often, okay? And so I was back there this week. But I was looking in my Bible at Psalms 40, and the first couple of words got my attention. The first three words of Psalms 40 says, I waited patiently. I waited patiently. And who they waited patiently on, it goes on and says, I waited patiently for the Lord. The psalm is about a time in David's life when he was under horrible stress. Excuse me. He felt as though he was stuck in a pit or a swamp. Didn't matter how hard he tried, he couldn't get out. That's how he felt. But what David does, being one right thing that he does, is he turns his frustration and his distress over to the Lord, and he puts his trust in God's strength to get him out. This is kind of the spirit that David wrote this Psalms out of. Whatever was going on in his life was very stressful. I'm talking tremendous stress, horrible stress, stress that really tries its best to take you under. The only way that he could describe it was as miry clay. Didn't matter if you moved to the left, to the right. It didn't matter if you tried to stretch up or bend down. Whatever direction you tried to get out, it just continued to pull you back. That's what he was going through. But the one thing that David did was he turns his frustration and his distress over to the Lord and begins to trust in the strength of God. So I wrote a poem about a time or times in our lives when we are found waiting, but we're not really waiting in the Lord. And that type of waiting doesn't ever get us up or out. And see, the whole thing about life when you're stuck is you want up and you want out of that situation. But there's a right way to wait patiently to be there. So listen to this poem. See if you can't relate with it at times or if you know someone that might be in this place. The poem is called I Wait. Morning after morning, night after night, I wait. And I wait some more. But who and what am I waiting for? Someone, something to help me deal. Someone, something to help my heart shake off this cold chill. I wait and I wait some more. For someone, sometime to come through the door. To answer my questions, how come and what for? I wait and I wait some more while I cry and cry, why me and what's the use anymore? I wait and I wait no more, just live and do as I please. For the moment, for the time, I just do anything or nothing for some ease. I wait and I wait on Sunday morning to decide if I would visit the church in hope to hear from the Lord. The preacher stood up and the scripture was read, Psalms 40, verse 1, and it was this that was said. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Waiting and waiting might be the place that you are, but waiting alone will not get you far. Turn your waiting toward the Lord, and he will be that someone, something worth waiting for. To pick you up and get you out of the pit you're in, for it's Jesus your heart needs within. I base that on Psalms 40, verses 1 through 17. I personally believe, after talking to many different ones in 2011 and seeing some tragedies and going through some, that many are stuck in a place of waiting, but they're not waiting patiently on the Lord. They're just waiting. They're waiting for the next day to bring in something better. They're waiting for the next person to do something nice. They're waiting for the job to get easier. They're waiting for the day to get better. But I want to go tonight, and I want to start by reading Psalms 40. Closing out 2011 might seem like the wrong time to talk about waiting patiently. But there's a few days left in 2011, just a very few. And I believe that if you and I will transition to wait patiently on the Lord in some of these places that we've been, before the clock strikes 2012, your spirit will be different. Put yourself in Psalms 40. And I want you to see the intensity of where David's life was. Psalms 40, verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock and he established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. I preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth for thy great congregation. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Verse 12 tells you how much distress was in David's life. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Too many to count. Too many struggles to talk about. Too many worries. Too many burdens. Too many enemies to count. But he says something else. He says, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. And then verse 17, but I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying on me, Lord. What are you waiting on? Let's talk about this word, patiently. David gives us a strong message by setting up this Psalms this way. See, if we went into James and talked about the trials and let the trials have its perfect work and talked about our faith and producing and then patience and all those things working out, we would be talking about patience for us to let something happen and us go through so that we could learn to wait in a timing element. But patiently adds something when you're waiting patiently. When you wait patiently, you're not worrying while you wait. When you wait patiently, you're not doubting while you wait. While you wait patiently, you're releasing trust and belief in God. You've seen the person that waits and they're timid, frigid, tapping, can't hardly, you know, they're waiting because they're being restrained to wait. The person in front of them is not going to let them butt in line, so they got to wait. But under their breath, they can hardly bear it. They're not patient about it. They're not patiently waiting. They are restricted in waiting. And so we have missed some of the things that God wants us to learn to be patiently waiting in. And where we wait, we do like the world, and we wait with worry. If I don't hurry up and get this, I'm not going to make it. If God doesn't do it today, I'm not giving him another chance. David was saying something. He taught us through this passage of Scripture that the only one worth waiting on is the one who can and will deliver you. So be patient. Wait without worry. If it didn't happen in 2011, he'll do it in 2012. If you didn't get the understanding that you needed, don't wait impatiently. Don't come in with the spirit of, I'm waiting on God, I'm waiting on God, in the sense like the impatient person in line. But wait on God with patience. Be patient. Let him work it. Let him do it. David is actually teaching us how to deal with stress and worry and anxiety. It very easily could have said, I waited on the Lord. And that's the attitude that many of us get in. I'm waiting on the Lord, and we have a bad attitude about it. But when you add the word patiently, I'm waiting patiently on the Lord, you've got your peace. David was not waiting on somebody else to fix it. I waited patiently for the Lord, he said. And he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. It's not that God's not hearing your cry. It's that many times we don't want to patiently wait on him to do what he desires to do in our life. And so we cry to someone else because they may give us more of what we want. Oh, I need lots of sympathy. I need somebody to really know what I'm going through so I can get some more attention. And so we say we wait on the Lord. I'm waiting on God to heal me. I'm waiting on God to set me free. I'm waiting on God to get me over this thing. Are you doing it patiently? Or are you doing it with worry, fret, discouragement, and disbelief? Because David uses the word patiently, and I'm going to use some other scriptures to bring this out more. Turn over to Psalms 37. We can't overlook this. I believe that in 2012, we're going to have to be patiently waiting on the Lord to do great and mighty things. Get rid of this spirit that says, I'm waiting on God as a dare. I'm waiting on God to do this in a bad attitude kind of way and do it in the proper way. I'm waiting patiently on God, meaning I trust Him. I'm secure in Him. I depend on Him. David didn't go anywhere else. He went to the Lord. Church, there is no best friend that's going to get you out of the miry clay. There is no counselor outside of God that can get you out of the miry clay. There is no comforter that can take you out of mourning like there is in the Lord. We have to go to Him. Be like David. David was in extreme stress, difficult times, innumerable enemies, pressure on top of pressure, on top of pressure, on top of pressure, on top of pressure. And what did he do? The very first verse is a ministry to us. I waited patiently for the Lord. Psalms 37. Let's look at it. See, I like the song, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But we need to add a word in there. They that wait on the Lord patiently shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Because if we don't get to the patiently part of waiting, we're waiting in vain. The world sits back and dares God to do something for them. I'm waiting on God to show up. The day God shows up and tells me to stop doing this is the day I'll stop doing this. You're waiting wrong on God. He's not just going to bust down your front door and take all the bad stuff out of your life. But when you start waiting patiently on Him to deliver you from evil, stresses, and worries, He will. Psalms 37 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Your pressure's coming from evildoers, church. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. So here's two stresses. You got evildoers all around you putting pressure. And then you've got people that are the world, and they're getting all of the riches and wealth of this world, and it looks so beautiful and attractive, and now the spirit of envy is trying to reach into our hearts and say, well, why are they? They're not in church, and look what they're getting, and look what they're doing. And so the Bible says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against workers of iniquity, because they're sinning. Iniquity is sinning. Iniquity is sinners. The sinners on the outside look like they've got more, but on the inside, they've got nothing. And the Christian and the believer in God on the inside has all, but on the outside might not have as much. But it's not worth the trade-off. I would rather have Christ in my life and the peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit reigning and ruling in my heart than all the money in the world in the bank that will one day be no good for anything. So look out for evildoers because they're going to bring stress on you. Even if they don't bring personal attacks on you, the spirit they carry about them puts stress on every believer. If you don't believe that, just get in a room full of people that don't believe in God, and you be the only one standing there, and you can feel the evil presence trying to pull you down. Envious, workers of iniquity. Verse 2 tells you, and tells me, they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. It's a short-lived time that the world gets compared to eternity. See, you're born again. I'm born again, so we have eternal life in us. The longevity of eternal life is no longer measurable because it's forever. But what is measurable is the evildoer and the workers of iniquity that make us envious at times because of what they have, but they're sinners. Soon, they're going to get cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. By the way, these next areas, these are what you do while you're waiting patiently. You trust in the Lord. And you do good when you're trusting in God. There's some action in the church that still goes on while you're waiting patiently on the Lord. Trust in Him and do some good. And then verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord. This means don't just come to church. This means don't just sing a song. This means don't just hear a word. But delight yourself. I mean, get into the place where it's much fun for you to come to church as it is for you to go to your favorite place and your favorite restaurant to have a great meal together. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Commit thy way. We're talking about waiting patiently on the Lord. We've all been in places where we're waiting on something to get better. I want tomorrow to be better. I want this thing to happen and change and be better. But waiting by itself is just taking up time. But waiting patiently in the Lord is going to bring you rest, comfort, and deliverance. Not only are you to look out for the evildoers that's bringing stress in your life, not only are you to pay attention and not get an envious spirit because of the iniquities of the world, who seems in the world to be gaining all the wealth and riches that puts pressure on us, but you have to trust in the Lord. Do good. Then verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. It's unfair to say to God, God, I'm waiting on you to do this in my life. It's unfair to say, God, I want you to take this out of my life if you and I will not do verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Cry and plead and beg God to change us and do things in our life. But then we get up and we say, I'm still living my life the way I want to. I'm not going to commit my way unto the Lord. That's unfair to God. We say how unfair life is, but how about what we do to God is unfair? Oh, I believe there's a God. I believe that there is heaven and hell. I believe that the Bible is true. And then when you talk to God and you get in a bad situation, you go through a hard time, and you're waiting, and you're in that place of waiting, and you're just sitting there, and you're just waiting, and you're letting time go by, and you're just challenging God. God, just change it automatically. Just reach in and flip the switch and get me in a better mood. Get me out of things. But in your heart and in your life, you're saying, God, you do what I want you to do, but I'm not going to do what you want me to do. I'm not going to commit my way to you. That's unfair to God. Listen what it says when you do commit your way to the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. He has a promise. He has a promise. He shall bring it to pass. Your bad days are going to pass if you let God have His way in your life. I mean really pass. I mean really get over something. Temporary things are just that. They're temporary. A good friend can come along and pick your spirit up for a couple of days, maybe a week, get you all cheery and happy. But when the good friend goes back and has to go their way and you're still at home, all the stuff that was trying to be cheered up on you comes back. But there is a God that cares enough for you and me that when you begin to commit your heart, all He wants is your heart. He's not after your money. He's not after you to solve every problem in life. He's not after you to be the one and only witness to the world. He wants your heart to be committed to Him, and He will guide and lead you for the rest of your life on what you're going to do. Life makes sense when God's a part of your heart. Do you get tired of bumping into the dead-end roads? I've hit a few of them. But verse 5 is so powerful. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Verse 6 says, He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. Church, you can't do righteousness correctly. I can't. You're not going to be righteous until the Lord works it into your spirit. He'll take you step by step. Quit thinking that just because you got saved, you're automatically righteous and doing everything right with God. We still make mistakes. But He'll bring forth the righteousness in your spirit. What you used to do, He'll fix and correct and change. And little by little, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, God grows on the inside and your life changes. It'll come like light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord. And here it is, wait patiently for Him. What I'm talking about tonight is the type of person that comes in, they've heard about God, they've been brought up in serving Him, they may have accepted Him in their heart as Savior, but they hit some places in their life that knocks them backwards and makes them all confused and wondering why this and why that. And then the attitude changes and they say, all I can do now is I'm waiting on God. And they take the world's concept of waiting, and it isn't patiently waiting. It's impatiently waiting with a bad attitude. God, if you don't do it, God, I need you now. God this, God that. And then you just get mad at Him because you're tired and you get to the place where you say, I'm not waiting anymore. Well, what happened was the enemy got in there, and even though you were trying to wait on God, your spirit was not correctly waiting on God because you had no patience in waiting on God. If you patiently wait on God, what you're saying on the inside is, I trust Him. I believe in Him. My security is in Him. And just like David, when he was going through all of his stresses, and the Bible said that he was going through so much pain and so much agony and so much stress that his enemies could not even be counted. There was so much pressure on him that the only thing he could describe it was that he was sinking in miry clay, and it didn't matter which way he moved. However, every time he used any strength of his muscle to get out, it just pulled him right back and he was stuck. But he said, I waited patiently on the Lord, and he heard, and he inclined his ear, and he heard my cry. I want 2012 to be a year that you and I can testify together that we can wait patiently on God and say, just like David did, I waited patiently on the Lord, and he listened in on my prayer, and he set me free. David got out of the miry clay. Scripture goes on and says he picked up the feet and set it on a solid rock. This life is going to continue to beat and batter and wound and hurt each of us. But the only Savior that you and I can turn to with any hope is a God that loves us so much that he wants your feet out of this miry clay. 2011 and going to 2012, the end of 1 year going into a new. This can be the year that we make a decision. Don't just come to church and sit on a pew and say, God, I'm waiting on you to do it. Just boom, pour it on me. Boom, fix it. Set me free. We got to put that off and say, that's not right. But we got to come back to the Lord with patience in our spirit, waiting on him patiently. If you don't believe he'll do it, start reading his word. He did it for someone else. See, every scripture in this book is given for inspiration, came from God. It's for our correction. It's for our reproof. It's for our disciplines. It's also for our witness and our testimony to believe that if he did it for one, he'll do it for someone else. If he healed one person, he can heal another. If he forgave the woman who was caught in the act of adultery when all the city and all the town was ready to throw rocks and condemn her and judge her, and Jesus said, he who is without sin cast the first stone. If Jesus can do that in somebody's life that according to law was condemned to die, you don't think he can set your heart free? If he can minister to a man that was bound in the tombs, in the graves, not buried. I'm not talking about somebody dead in the grave, buried. I'm talking about a man who was so full of evil spirits that the only place that they could even let him be and continue to live was in the tombs, chained, and nobody could control him. But Jesus could, because Jesus loved the man enough to cast out every evil spirit that was causing stress and defeat in his life. The Bible says that that man was given his sound mind back, and he went and became somebody in the community that was a testimony. I don't care if you've been doing the same bad habits years on years on years on years on years. God can set you free. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 20 years and you're reaching that point where you're almost ready to just stop believing God can even do any more miracles. I know that God will change our spirit and our heart if we'll patiently start waiting on him again. Don't put God in a time box. But what we need to work on, instead of saying, God, do it now, do it now, do it now, do it now, is we need to work on the patiently waiting. Because that's where the church has to be right now. We should not just be looking unto God to come and rescue us out of this life. We should be patiently waiting, meaning we're doing some good works. We're still trusting. We're still believing. We're still hoping. We're still rejoicing. We're still in love with him. Why should I be in love with Jesus? This life is hard. Why should I care? Why should I even be interested in going to church? Why should I listen to any preacher? Why should I open up my Bible at all? Because Jesus patiently waited on the Father while he was on the cross. He did it trusting his Father. Ask yourself this. Did Jesus suffer? Yes. Did Jesus go through pain? Yes. Did Jesus have burdens? Yes. Did Jesus have sorrow? Yes. Then why in the church do we think just because we get saved that somewhere we feel like we're exempt from any more pain, suffering, or sorrow when Jesus was born into it? The first thing that happened to Jesus was the king, Herod, put a notice of death over his head and said, kill him as a baby. His life was threatened as a baby. How many times in Scripture can you read where it says that the group was trying to seize him, lay hands on him? They weren't trying to shake his hands and be friendly. They were trying to kill him. So be careful about the enemy spirit that's in this world that's trying its best to tell you give up on God. Because as the world continues in the mess it's in, the only chance for any relief is to know who the real Savior is, Jesus. See, I'm talking about waiting patiently, not just waiting. You've been in the grocery store, you've been at a red light, and you know what it is to be impatient while you have to wait. The red light says it's illegal to go through the light, so you're sitting there waiting on that light. But what are you doing? You're banging on the horn, you're tapping your foot, you might roll down your window and yell something out at somebody. You're not being patient. We do the same thing when we come into the house of God. You don't stand up in your pew and yell at God and say, God, I'm tired of the red light. I want the green light this morning. But in your spirit, you're sitting there. And sometimes when I've come into the church, I'm sitting there and I'm just saying, God, I'm ready to see unity in the church. I'm ready to see cooperation in the church. I'm ready to see new life in the church. I'm ready to see the sinner come into the church. But am I doing it patiently? Not every time. Patience has to do with trust, believing, honoring, and accepting that God is God. When we have no patience in it, it's our flesh. We tell God when to do it, how to do it, and if he doesn't, that's it. We quit. It's not the year for quitters in 2012. It's not the year for the church to go backwards. It's the year for us to wait patiently on the Lord. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not. Don't worry about it. Stop getting worked up just because something's tough. It is tough. But if you can wait patiently on the Lord, he will take you through. The one place you cannot give up is on God. He did not give up on you. Jesus went all the way to the cross. He was whipped and beaten. He was spat on. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. And he bled and he died so that your sins and my sins could be forgiven. And when it's all said and done, we can get out of this life and go to heaven forever and ever. If you think life is messed up here, I would not want anybody to risk spending eternity in hell, because the only thing in hell is messed up on top of messed up on top of messed up. No relief ever. At least here, when you fall down and you get your knee skinned up, God's even worked it out to put a scab on your knee so that you get relief from the burning of the skin that was rubbed off your knee. But yet we still curse God because my knee hurts. But it's the scab on your knee that tells you that God loves you, because he did that. He designed the body to heal itself. but yet we'll still curse God when we fall down. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. You might as well know that the evil lifestyle is going to prosper here. Look who is the rich right now. It is the musicians, the actors and actresses, the comedians, and their message has nothing to do with God. But they're making money. The sports, athletics, things that we enjoy. We go to movies. We go to sports games. I enjoy sports. I've watched movies, and I enjoy some movies. But what the scripture's talking about is when it looks like everybody else is getting it and you're not getting any, ask yourself, how are they getting it? Because the world outside of Jesus has a self-prosperity part about it that attracts people and says, I can get more not serving God. You might get more of something, but you won't get more forgiveness. You won't get more peace. You won't have more joy. You won't have more eternal life. You'll have to sell out your heart, the part that God wants. Verse 8 tells us something that happens when we patiently wait. Cease from anger. You know how much anger is in this world today? There's so much anger that children will hit their parents. Parents will hit their children. I'm not talking about spankings. I'm talking about knocking each other out. Best friends will turn. People are getting shot. Little kids in grade school today, there's some carrying knives. Here in this town, police are now having to go into the schools. Security is all over the mall. What's happening? We've lost our patience of waiting on God. So in doing that, we give over to the flesh that reacts out of anger and wrath. Wrath is a sworn place of hate. When you give in to wrath, you are swearing in your heart to do someone else worse than was done to you. The Bible warns about wrath. The Bible says wrath belongs to God. And it's not our place to get equal with somebody that does wrong. We are to cease from anger and forsake wrath and fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Evil on top of evil is just more evil. It doesn't even the odds. It doesn't settle the score. When you're hurt by your life and your situation, hurting your family and other people around you is not bringing you relief. It's putting you into deeper bondage. Because what happens is your spirit closes and you live in one way, depressed, tormented, and aggravated. What's the answer? I'm going to go to one more scripture, and it's time to close. 1 Peter chapter 2. We have just a couple of days left of 2011, and it's time to make a decision. Live like I have in 2011 and every other year, or get ready for 2012 and let my heart start patiently waiting on God to change me and fix me and heal me and forgive me. Turn my life into something worth living for. It takes Jesus to do that. First Peter chapter 2. Verse 20. Listen to this. For what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults or beaten for your faults? Okay, you did something wrong. The scripture is saying, what glory is it if you get in trouble and you take a beating for something you did that's your fault and you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Let me talk about this for just a minute. A child gets in trouble for doing something wrong. Maybe gets a grounding or a spanking or something. And they take it patiently because they deserved it. That's not really giving much glory in the situation. But when you and I start living for God, and now all the friends start kind of beating up your heart, calling you a loser, telling you, you know, you're just one of them churchgoers now. The world is going to hate you for serving God. But this is where we got to be ready to take it patiently. Take it, if I can use a boxing term, take it on the chin. What is that? This kind of patience will keep you from fighting in the flesh. Because when you serve God, you're going to find out that even sometimes people inside the church are going to say things to you that hurt. And if you take it patiently, that means you're going to take it to the Lord and forgive and forget it. If you don't take it patiently, and see, that kind of patience gives glory to God. But when you and I feud in the church because I didn't come by and shake your hand or didn't visit you when you were in the hospital or you didn't have somebody notice your new haircut or come up and talk to you because you're new in the church. So instead of being patient, you just get upset. And see, what's happened inside the church is there's too many people that come in the church and they say they're waiting on God, but they got no patience in their spirit. They're not patiently waiting on God, and they're not taking the pain of this life patiently, and they're just giving it back and forth to each other. Back and forth. And so there's so much tension in the air of the church that the peace of God can't hardly ever be felt. Because when we start to get patient with God and say, God, you know when it's right for me. We get so mad at people, we think they ought to change when they're in their sin instantly. I've had people in this last week do some things behind my back in this church to try to get after some people that need to change their lives. You know what that is? That's not waiting patiently on God. People are trying to take it in their own hands and demand people to change their life. Can I tell you right now, it won't work that way. It's happening in this church. If you see somebody sinning and living in a way that looks dangerous to their heart and their spirit, then go before God and wait patiently on Him. He'll give you the words to say to the person. I had a struggle this week because when I found out about that, I wanted to get mad, angry. And for a few moments I did until God started working on me. And He said, I was ready to confront that person head on. I mean, I was ready to just get this thing. Yeah, I was ready. And God said, I'll work on him. So tonight I can tell you that that spirit on me is not there. And come Sunday morning, if they're in the church with us, I won't have anything against them. But this is what the scripture is talking about. You and I can see people's faults and failures. But are we going to patiently wait on God to help us love them through the situation or maybe your situation? 2012's got to be different for this church. Has to be different. If you and I want the sinner to come in off the street, we got to patiently wait on the Lord and wait on them to come to the altar and give their heart to Jesus. And then be patient with them because they're going to grow little by little. I want you to stand, all of us stand together tonight. We're going to pray. For respect of everybody that's here, I want you to just close your eyes, please, just out of respect. What I want you to know is it's just you and God right now. You and God. Have you really given Him a chance? Without going into any details of your life, I want you to ask God an honest question. Have I given you a chance to love me? I don't care how big and how strong or how little or how weak any of us are. If we do not have the love of God in our lives, we're hurting. Your life could be the worst right now. It could be hurting the worst right now. But what I can promise you by the Word of God tonight is if you will let God, the Lord Jesus, come into your heart, you will have a peace that will give you strength and power to face whatever you got to face. He will turn your life into something good. But I'm going to go back and remind you of one verse. Commit thy ways to the Lord. You can't bargain with God and say, God, give me every good thing you have, but let me live like I want to. He is going to change some things in your life. While we're praying tonight, I want to ask this question. Would you let Him work in your spirit this next year, patiently waiting on Him? And it will start by renewing, and maybe if tonight's the first night you've ever done this, by asking Him to come into your life. So please keep your eyes closed. Just you and God. You're not here with anybody. You and God. If you would say before God right now, in 2011, I didn't live for you, God. I didn't really want your ways. I didn't really wait patiently for you to help me get through my problems. But tonight I want to renew my heart and say it belongs to you. What does that mean? First of all, He's going to restore peace. And then little by little, He's going to begin to speak into your heart and show you things that need to change. And He'll help you. Then I want to ask this question. And you would say, tonight, I've never really honestly ever asked Jesus to come into my heart. I've never really accepted forgiveness of my sins. I've never really believed in that. But before tonight is over, I want Jesus to come into my heart. Cleanse me of my wrongs and my sins. and help me live a better life for Him. If you need Jesus to restore your heart, if you need Jesus to come into your heart, I'm going to count to three. And I want you to do something with all the force and might you've got and make a decision that, you know what? I just need to do this because I don't like how I am. I promise you, Jesus has already said He'll take you. He wants you. He has a place for you. I sense Him. He's here. I'm going to give a count to three, and I want you to push through every bit of your flesh that says, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't come back to God. Don't ask Him in your heart. I want you to push through it. Get rid of it and say yes to Jesus tonight. Are you ready? Everybody's eyes are closed. One. Two. Three. I want you to raise your hand. And we're going to pray. Come on, raise your hand. Tell the Lord, I need renewed. I need You in my life. Change me. He'll do it. Put your hands down. I'm going to close with the same thing that I read to start with, and then we're going to pray. God gave me a poem today. If this poem is where you are, I'm going to ask again at the end of this poem to raise your hand. It's called I Wait. Morning after morning, night after night, I wait. I wait some more, but who and what am I waiting for? Someone, something to help me deal. Someone, something to help my heart shake off this cold chill. I wait and I wait some more for someone, sometime, to come through the door. To answer my questions, how come and what for? I wait and I wait some more while I cry and I cry, why me? And what's the use anymore? I wait and I wait no more, just live and do as I please. For the moment, for the time, I just do anything or nothing for some ease. I wait and I wait on Sunday morning to decide if I will visit the church and hope to hear from the Lord. Preacher stood up and the scripture was read, Psalms 40, verse 1. And it was this that was said. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me. He heard my cry. Waiting and waiting might be the place that you are, but waiting alone will not get you far. Turn your waiting toward the Lord, and He will be that someone, something worth waiting for, to pick you up and get you out of the pit you're in. For it's Jesus your heart needs within. Close your eyes one more time. I'm going to count to three again. You want out of the pit? You want out of the miry clay? David did, and he said, I waited patiently on the Lord, and He turned His frustration, and He turned His anger, and He turned His wrath. He turned it all over and said, Lord, I'm trusting You. You're the only one. Get me out. Count to three, and then we're going to pray. One. Two. Three. Are you here? Is this you? You need Jesus. Father, I've given your word tonight. You're teaching my heart to wait patiently on you. Not one person in this room can force your hand to do anything. But when we humble our heart and we confess our sin and say, I'm sorry, and I need you, it's time. Lord, as we have one or two more days, a couple more days, don't let us go into the next year the same way. Change our hearts. Bring us back so we'll listen in on your word. Forgive us. Let us be patiently waiting on you. In Jesus' name.